We thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to His Word. And it's always a blessing to be at His feet, to hear from Him, to be guided by Him, and to just understand what He has for us each and every day. So we're going to share something small from Romans chapter 8. And we just want to look about this mind, the importance of tuning our minds to the Spirit. And one of the things that we find that is a struggle, not only for the church or for believers, is about the mind. And when you think about the human body, we see that, or the human being, he has the spirit, the soul, which is the seat of the mind, and the body, the soul, and the spirit. And we know that the soul is the seat of the mind, the will, the intellect, and this is a place that is like the computer of the man. And this is the place that makes interface between his body and his spirit. So whenever we think about what God wants to transform a person, He will always aim that, yes, God has done the work in the spirit, but then you find that the mind still needs to be transformed such that it can follow after the Spirit of God, and then it can also then control the body and control the affairs of life. So if we read Romans chapter 8 verse 1, the Bible says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." So when the scripture starts "therefore," then you need to now know that there was a discussion that was ongoing. And the discussion that was ongoing is that Paul was trying to discuss about the law in his mind. And he was saying he sees a law at work in the members of his body, that he wants to do good, but he finds that he does not do the good that he knows he should do. And when he tries to understand, he says he finds a law at work in the members of his body that makes him not to do the right thing, yet he should do the right thing. And he asks the question, "Who will save me from this body of death?" And then the Bible, he gives the answer, "Thanks be to our Lord Jesus Christ." So now when he brings that understanding, he shows that there is a struggle in the mind. There's a struggle in the human mind that tries to conform or tries to be transformed by the Word of God, by the information that we receive from the Spirit, to live according to the patterns of Christ. And that's why the Bible says, now, first of all, he has to deal with the aspect of condemnation. Because many times what the enemy does is, as the reason why he's called the accuser of brethren, is because the devil has the job of reminding us of our failures, reminding us of our sins, reminding us of where we fall short of the glory of God. But then when we come to God, God has to remind us, look here, when you come to me, you are not under condemnation. And God does not keep, when the Bible says love keeps no record of wrongs, that means agape. The word there is agape. That means the love of God keeps no record of wrongs. It's patient, it's kind, it does not envy, it's not self-seeking. All that is referring to God's love, agape, that God's love does not keep a record of wrongs. You know, David discovers this when he says that the blessedness of the man to whom the Lord does not count his sin against. You know, when Abraham is called by faith, there is a blessedness of that faith, that the one to whom God calls righteous, even before they know or they understand what righteousness is. And unless someone gets to that point of removing the guilt, removing the condemnation, then you will not be able to believe, first of all, that God is able to use you, or to believe that God still desires to speak through you, or God desires to influence your life in the right direction. So unless that aspect of the mind is transformed, the importance of the transformation of the mind is very important. And you see, that's why Paul tries to address this later on in chapter 12 of this Romans. He says that I urge you, in view of God's mercies, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And then he says, do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and prove his good and perfect will. So good and pleasing will of the Father. So when we are able to be transformed in the mind, then we can know the things that God has given us. So the mind is a very important aspect of every human being. And as you can see what he says, the first aspect is to remove the condemnation. But the condemnation is not just removed just for the sake, but it is removed in a certain order of things. The Bible says that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That means that it is an in Christ Jesus. It's an in him reality. You know, one of the things that you will see about God and about Paul's writings is that he says that there are many blessings that we occur in Christ Jesus. Praise be to God who has blessed us in every spiritual blessing in him. In Christ Jesus. In him we have obtained the redemption of sins, the forgiveness of sins in Christ. So there is a place where we stand in, and that is in Christ. And then when you stand in Christ, the Bible says, who do not walk according to the flesh or according to the carnal mind, but according to the Spirit. So the Bible is basically completing that statement that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not live according to the flesh, according to the pattern, the dictates of their flesh, according to obeying to their flesh, but who live according to the Spirit. So it's describing the battle that is inside of the believer. Do I follow after the Spirit, after the things that he wants me to do, or do I follow after the flesh? And then verse 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Remember when you were saying about the law of the mind, there is a struggle in the mind. That in the mind is hostile to God, and you desire to do good, but you don't do it. Think about even when Jesus was saying, he told his disciples, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. There he knows that the humanness of us is what does not have the capacity or struggles to follow after the Spirit. And later on we'll see how, you know, it is hostile to God. The carnal mind is hostile to God. But he's saying that there is a law at work, that the law of the Spirit of life, that means the life of God. The life there is Zoe, the life of God. There is a law that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that gives us life, makes us free. And it sets us free. In fact, it's in the past tense, has set us free from the law of sin and death. That means that sin has no dominion over the believer. Death has no power over the believer. Why? Because we have been set free from that law and have been given the law, Spirit of life, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Remember, it is another in Christ Jesus reality. So the question we must continually remind ourselves, are we staying firm in Christ? Are we continually committed to Christ? Are we in him? Remember, this is a union. There is a union that God has given us in him. We are married to him. And the Bible says, never will I leave you nor forsake you. There is an assurance that the Holy Spirit gives us that when we are in Christ, we are not left alone. We are not left alone. It is him who has sealed us until the day of redemption. We are sealed with him. There is a mark, that there is a covenant that God has entered with us, that he says that he is the one that shall keep us until that very end of time. So it is God that keeps us. It is God that sustains us in salvation. He is the one that died for us. He is the one that enables us. He is the one that gives us the life of God. He is the one that calls us his children. And he makes us free from the law of sin and death. That means we are delivered. We are above the law of sin and death. Indeed, death and sin have no power over us. In fact, the control of sin over us lost its power. Anytime you find that the law of sin and death is at work, is because you as a believer have let it be. That's why the Bible says, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies to obey its commands. How can you that have died to sin live in it anymore? That means there is a power. There is a power to resist sin. There is a power that is given to the believer through the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus to overcome sin. That sin will not have dominion over you. Yes, you may have fallen into sin, but it does not, the power to get out of it is still with you. That's the beauty of the new life in Christ. The power to get out of sin is granted to you. The unbeliever has no power to get out of it. The unbeliever, in fact, the Bible tells us that the enemy takes them hostage to do his pleasure, to follow his commands as his desires, because they are like pawns in his game. But the believer that has been set free from the law of sin and death has power over sin and death. And this believer, because he knows he has the life of God, even if he falls, that life is like a seed in him that starts to reprogram and call him back to the right path. God has a way of calling back his children back on track. And he brings you back on track with no condemnation. He brings you back on track with love. He brings you back on track with daily blessings. The Bible says, thanks be to our God who always daily loads us with benefits. He always pours out a blessing of our lives that we cannot contain it, that the world cannot contain it. Why? Because he knows that he only wins us through love. God wins us through love. Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That means there is the believing that brings you to life. If you believe in Christ, if you believe in what he is doing, in the love that he has expressed to us, that while we were yet sinners, he sent his Son to die for us, then we can walk in that newness of life and in the blessing of God. So we can see that this is a reality that we are seeing, that the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made, it's a pastness thing, and this is a reality of the new man. Remember, in you have the new man. There is a newness of life that God has given you. Your inner man is made perfect in true holiness to resemble God. The Bible tells us he has made us into the image of his Son. We are conformed into the image of his Son. Remember, we're looking at the image of the Christ now. How does the Christ look like? The Christ is radiant. His eyes are blazing with fire. He is clothed in white and with the gold, and his feet are feet of bronze. So in the Spirit, our Lord and Savior is marvelous. And the Bible tells us that we are made into that image, that those whom he foreknew, he predestined. Those who predestined, he called. Those that he called, he justified. He makes you righteous, and those that he justified, he glorified. Christ came to be the first fruits, that we that believe in him, we die with him, we are buried with him, but we resurrect with him. And just as he is, so are we in this present world. Just as he is now, as Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, as Christ is elevated, as Christ is glorious, in glory, we are made like him. So now when you understand the inner man, the new man that God has given us, the inner man is made in true holiness and righteousness, that your spirit is regenerated But then now your spirit needs to work on your mind. You need to receive the mind of Christ. He has given us his mind, but how do you overcome that? By taking the word of God, by learning the mind of Christ, by taking the logos. You know, logos is the mind of Christ. The written word of God is the mind of Christ. So the more we know about God, is the more we hear his voice. The more we know his patterns, the more we know his thoughts, the more we know how he expects us to do life. Now, the Bible says, verse 3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So there are many promises that are given, but there is a condition. The condition is for us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. When you walk in obedience to the Spirit, when you are led by the Spirit of God, the Bible says, for those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Think about how when Paul was addressing the Corinthian churches, and he was telling them that, I wish I could have spoken to you as mature, but you are still infants, you are still babes, because there is still quarreling among you, there is still selfishness, there is still infightings, there is still pride, there is still divisions. One follows this other, the other follows another. Paul desired to speak to the church, the Corinthians, in maturity as sons. But he says that he cannot do it because of their carnality. Yes, they were Christians, but he still called them carnal in nature. That means that they had not allowed their transformation of their mind. And that is why you find the struggle. You find, yes, believers, they love God. Yes, their spirits are regenerated. They are made alive. The Holy Spirit is dwelling in their spirits. They are born again. They are regenerated, yes. But they have not yet allowed the transformation of the mind to be completed by the work of the Spirit, by the obedience of the Spirit. You see, it's just like in marriage. You have two people who the Bible says have become one. But then each of these two persons have a mind of their own. Now the Bible tells the wife, submit to your husband as Christ. You know, as the church submits to Christ. Why? Because this is the perfect, demonstrates the union of Christ and the church. Now, in the same way, God asks the wife to submit to her husband. It does not take away her mind. It does not mean that she does not have a mind of her own. She cannot reason with her husband. No. Yes, they reason. But there is a place where when that mind is submitted to the husband or to Christ, the church is submitted to Christ, to the Holy Spirit, to the leading of the Holy Spirit, then that is where you experience the unity that God blesses, but is also where, as a church, you experience the blessings of increase. Remember, God wants to increase us. God wants us to grow. But the only way that we grow is that when we receive his word, when we receive his instructions and we obey him, then we are led into fruitfulness. Yes, you still have your mind. You can decide not to do the things that God has asked you to do. But the end result of that is stagnation and frustration. And you find that you are not moving forward at the pace that God wants you to move in. But when you submit your mind to the Holy Spirit will tell you to be silent in a moment where you should have shouted. The Holy Spirit will tell you what, you know, to apologize when you are wronged. The Holy Spirit, when his mind is at work, when he's speaking to our minds and our minds decide to go after his ways, then we can experience the newness of life. And the Bible says that sin that had control over us, it was condemned. Sin in the flesh was condemned. The power of sin, the flesh, was condemned. That means God judged it and declared that, you know what, nothing good can come out of the flesh. Nothing good can come out of the human carnality. All our efforts, all our human efforts end up to nothing. they end up in nothingness. Why? Because we think in our human capacity that we can make it on our own. But God still reminds us, unless the Lord builds a house, those that build it in vain. Unless the Lord watches over our house, watches over the city, those that watch, they watch in vain. In vain you rise up early, you know, and sleep late to eat the bread of sorrows, but he gives his beloved sleep. Psalms 127. God has a way of reminding us that, can you yield to me? Can you yield to walk after the Spirit so that you can walk in this lack of condemnation? You can walk in this newness of the Spirit of life. Verse 5 says, for those who live according to the flesh, that means their mind is according to the flesh, according to the sinful nature, submitting to it and following its desires, yet the Spirit of life is available to give them the power, but then they yield themselves to the sinful nature and to sin, they become its slaves. So you can find a believer is enslaved, yet God has made them free. Your inner man, your spirit is made free, has been given the Spirit of God to tabernacle in, and there's that union, there's that koinonia of your spirit and the Holy Spirit which makes you alive. But then your mind has to be brought into subjection. And that's where Colossians 3 tells us, set your minds on things above. It is you to set your mind. So the Bible says, for those who live according to the flesh, set their minds. You can see. So it is a setting of the mind. In which direction do you set your mind? Do you set your mind after the things of the flesh? Or do you live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit? So there is a positioning. There is a positioning of your mind that if you position your mind aright, then you will obey God. And that is why we struggle, you know, to read the word. There is a struggle to worship. There is a struggle to be in the house of God, to do the things of God. Why? Because we have not set our minds aright. If we set our minds, I will wake up to pray, the body will respond. Because your spirit is always willing. The flesh is weak. The flesh desires to weaken that. But God has given us victory. And he enables us. Look at what verse 6 says. For to be carnally minded, that means if you live according to the flesh, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. God wants you to walk in peace, to walk in life. That means if you set your mind to the things of the Spirit, there is that life and peace, Zoe, the God life starts to live in you, starts to manifest in you. And that is how you bring into manifestation the realities that God has declared. You know, someone will always argue, God, you say you've blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Why don't we see it? It is because our minds are still carnal in nature. Our minds are still after the things of the carnality, after the things of that satisfy the flesh, you know, be it pleasure, be it, you know, enjoyment, be it sleep, be it food. You know, there are things that in every sense are not sinful, but there are things which satisfy the flesh. And because the flesh is satisfied, then it weakens the spirit, and then you'll not be able to walk according to the Spirit. Verse 7, the Bible says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Look at verse 9, it says, but you, referring to those who are in Christ, and referring to believers, referring to those who have received the Spirit of God, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. The biggest question is, are you sure? Do you know that the Holy Spirit dwells in you? Do you hear his voice? He is not just a power that we use, but he is a holy person. He is our friend. He is our comforter. He is the third person of the Trinity that God has graciously given to walk alongside us. In fact, I think it's Pastor Yongi Cho that used to say, he's my senior pastor, I'm the junior pastor. Let the Holy Spirit lead the way. Let us go together. Lead the way, I follow. And when you follow this pattern, be it in your office, be it in your work, be it in your academics, whatever it is that you have submitted to the Holy Spirit, to God, then he becomes your advantage. He becomes your advantage and he enables you. And the Bible says, verse 10, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. The message is simple. The Holy Spirit has come to make us alive. When we receive Christ, we have received his Spirit. That he calls us to submit our minds, to set our minds to the things of the Spirit, not the things of the carnality or of the flesh. And when we do that, we shall experience life, we shall experience peace, we shall experience the blessings of God. We shall not be in enmity to God, but we shall have peace and life, and we shall walk according to the newness of life. And every blessing will be available to, when we submit ourselves to Christ. I'll stop here and I pray God gives us insight into this. My brother, you're welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Manu. I don't have really much art, but I've just been thinking. But how, because with the body, it's the easiest path to take. Because it's full of pleasure.
Yeah.
Eat as much as you want, sleep as much as you want, party as much as you want. But the way of death is pleasureful.
Yes.
You only realize it when it is towards the end. That's when you realize the pain. The way of the Spirit is of equally pleasurable.
Yes.
But until the Spirit is mature and is developed a certain point of you to realize that, you'll always find it boring. By nature, that's one thing, because I struggle with it, because when Christ came, the sinfulness of man was dealt with. So we are not born sinners.
Yes.
No? Yes. But somehow along the way, we tend to align more on the desires and the demands of the weaknesses of the flesh as human beings.
Yeah.
And we forget the spiritual bit of it.
Mm.
But then it takes the usual day-to-day things that we do to mature the spirit.
Mm.
If you cannot control sleep, if you cannot control what you eat, then you are a little, it will not, I don't know how you will get the strength to control temptations that are deeper than that.
Yes, true.
Again.
True.
Yeah, the temptations that are deeper than that.
True.
So I think as Christians, we often underlook some of these other desires that we think, okay, it's in, by nature, have to eat.
Yeah.
But do you have to eat every time you feel like you want to eat? You know, by nature, have to sleep. Do you have to sleep every time you feel like you have to sleep?
No.
It begins with those small ones.
Yeah.
You know? And then once you can control that, that means your spirit has less to focus on.
True.
In terms of fighting the deeper temptations. So yes, I think it's something that we need to look into as Christians, on how to nurture and mature the spirit.
Yeah.
Because it begins with the basics that we think are very obvious. But yet not
all.
Yes.
Not
over to you, Dr.
Amen. That's quite profound, because it does not start with the heavy flesh. You know, at times people will think it's the heavy flesh that we need to start with. No, but it's the simple things like games, you know, like the phone, like sleep, like food, and there are things that excite the flesh, and the more you tune to that, then the more you are drawn away, and you find that you've not satisfied the spirit, you know, you've not followed after the spirit. Yeah, and really, as we say, it's a submission. You know, that's what Jesus says. If anyone must come after me daily, he must take up his cross and follow me. That means we die daily. There's a thing that you have to die to. And when God helps us, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, you will know. And the Holy Spirit will tell you, that's enough, you've eaten enough. Or the Holy Spirit will tell you, you've already slept, wake up now, you know. So, we thank God, you know. May God continue to help us and strengthen us and enable us. And as the Bible says, just pray. That I think that's what he said, pray that you do not fall into temptation. So if we pray, if we read the word of God, then we strengthen the inner man and we strengthen the spirit. We hear the voice of God. Faith comes by hearing. We obey it. And also we depend on his voice. And I believe that God is able. In fact, he says all grace is available, abounds. God is able to make all grace abound, so that we'll be sufficient in all things. Even to overcome sin, there is a sufficiency for it. And I pray that God will strengthen us in this. Let us thank God. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your reminders this morning that we need to set our minds on things above, to set our minds aright, not on carnality, but on things after the Spirit. That the principle that if we stand aright, that you will stand with us. I praise your name. I worship you. Help us, O God. Help our failures. Yes, indeed, our spirits are willing, but our flesh is weak, O God. Help us, O God, that we be strong, O God. Help us to overcome the dictates of the flesh, to be strong in our minds, O God, to be disciplined in our minds, O God, that we will stand firm and that we shall not fall prey to the plans of the enemy, to the dictates of darkness, and we shall be established and we shall be strengthened. And indeed, work our own desires. Work our desires, because you say it is you that wills us both to will and to do according to your good pleasure. Work in us, O God Jesus, that we do your will and according to your purposes. I pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. We pray and believe. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Shalom. Blessed day.